Blog Talk Radio.
More than a dance or a song, so much more.
Praise God. I want to know him too. What a beautiful song by Yolanda Adams. I want to know him. Of course, that is found, that whole concept is found from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I want to welcome you tonight. I want to welcome you to Reaching Out Radio. And I especially want to share the real person who's the founder and the owner of this radio station, and that is Evangelist Montel Fields. I want to say a very special blessing to her for allowing me to come on tonight, another night, in the Word with Sister Pearl. And yours truly is Sister Pearl, so it's such a blessing for me to be with you tonight. I want to dedicate tonight's program to Evangelist Montel's precious mother that has gone on before us. And I just wanted to pray for Evangelist Montel and her family, because that was a big loss for them, but we know that's a definite gain for her mom. But as human beings, we miss the people that have been so kind and loved us and cherished us and nourished us, took care of us and raised us. I understand, because I also lost my precious mom, but I know that she's not really lost, and neither is Sister Montel's mom. We know exactly where they are. So they are found in the presence of the King. What a wonderful place to be. But I want to share with you something that Evangelist Montel had written on a Facebook post, and I want to read that tonight. Reaching Out Radio would like to welcome our new listeners in Ireland, United Arab Emirates, Botswana, Africa, South Africa, Kazakhstan, the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Norway, China, United Kingdom, Brazil, Colombia, India, Australia, and Germany. We are so excited to share the gospel with you, and we consider ourselves blessed that we can help you in any way possible to grow in your walk of faith. We appreciate you listening and consider you as a part of our ministry family. Thank you so much for spending the next hour with us. Thank you, and God bless you. It is my prayer that you will be richly encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God tonight. Amen. And I'm just going to say a prayer about tonight's message, and I pray that God will just keep our minds focused and on Him in the next remaining about 52 minutes. I pray that we'll be able to really concentrate, listen well, and understand what is being shared. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for tonight. Thank you, Father, for being so kind, so gracious, so good, so wonderful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise. And Father, thank you for our new listeners from around the world. Our family of Reaching Out Radio is growing, and we bless you for that. We pray, Lord God, that they would be so motivated, that you would captivate every heart that's listening tonight and draw us closer to you, we pray, in Jesus' name. And even for those who don't know you yet, I pray that that man, that woman, will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and begin to walk with you in eternal life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many of you that have listened to the last time that you were listening to In the Word with Sister Pearl, I was sharing a message that God has given me, and it's a three-part message. It's from John chapter 21. I'm just going to read the main verse tonight, because we already went over that in our part one of this three-part series. And it's John 21:15, where Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter after they had finished eating. If you remember, Jesus actually met them on the beach, and these disciples of his that were fishermen, those that were fishermen, not all of his 12 were fishermen, but the ones that were fishermen, Peter was definitely a professional fisherman and some others with him, they had been fishing all night. And for some reason, they caught absolutely no fish. But Jesus, being God in the flesh, God come down and visiting men and women, Jesus said, why don't you just cast your net to the other side? And in total obedience, that's exactly what those fishermen did, Peter and the rest of them. They cast their net to the other side at the word of Jesus, and sure enough, they caught fish immediately. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that our God is a miraculous God. He deals in miraculous. What you and I think are impossible is very possible with God. That word is for somebody tonight. So I wanted to just say, when Jesus posed that question to Peter, do you love me more than these? What was he talking about? Initially talking about, of course, immediately he was talking about the fish, the fact that Peter was a fisherman, and that was his livelihood. That was how he made his living, by fishing. And Jesus is asking him, well, Simon Peter, do you love me even more than these fish? Your livelihood, the way you get your salary, do you love me more than these? And I can also ask many, many questions along that line. I'm sure Jesus was not just talking about, do you love me more than these? Because he actually asked him the question three times. And so he's not just talking about fish, but do you love me more than even life itself? Do you love me more than man's approval? Do you love me more than your husband or your wife? In Peter's case, he was a married man. Do you love me more than your wife? Do you love me more than your children? Do you love me more than your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Do you love me even more than your own family, more than your earthly friends? Do you love me, Peter? And you can put your name in here. Do you love me more than fulfilling your sexual desires and temptations? Do you love me more than your reputation or even your good name? Do you love me more than your material possessions? These are questions. And for some people, perhaps I did not ask the question that I should have asked for you in particular, because everybody's different. But these were general questions that I thought about, and basic questions that pertain to all of us that are a part of humanity. Do you love Jesus more than these? Do you love Jesus to the point that you're willing to give your all for him? Tonight I'd like to discuss the hard reality that if one does not really know God, you cannot truly love him. Cannot truly love him. You might like him. You might enjoy the blessings that you receive from him, but you don't really know him. As we begin to know him, we love him. We love him more and more, because no human being can ever fully know and comprehend the mind of God. So it's a growing process. I've known the Lord now for more than 40 years, and I can tell you, I am still growing in my knowledge of him. If God would bless me with long life and a sharp brain, I would still be learning about him if I was blessed to live to the age of 100. I would still be learning about the different facets of God, and it would all be wonderful because he's a great and an awesome God. Actually, he's the only one that I call awesome. So as you begin to really spend time with him and know him, this is when you really love him. In addition to our knowledge of him, you know, in our daily walk with him, we experience who he is in our lives. And when a person fully surrenders to God, I mean fully surrenders to God, not holding back anything, that is the time that God's going to reveal his beautiful character to you and to me. He does not reveal who he is just like that. You can read the Word of God, but you will not understand the Word of God really in the depth that he would want you to understand unless he blesses you and opens up your spiritual understanding to do so. You can't just take the Bible and start to read it and think that you will fully understand or even come a little bit to understand his character. You can't. You have to fully acknowledge God. Fully acknowledge God. So, of course, any human being has the capacity to see some aspect of God, but this is different from really getting to know the Lord in a personal and a real way. For instance, the Word of God says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise, meaning S-U-N, sun as in sun versus the moon. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so this is how God is. He sends the sun to rise and the rain to replenish and water the earth. By raining, by allowing this blessing both to those that are in a right relationship with him and even to those people who are not even thinking about God. They're unjust. They're not desiring to please God. They don't know God. Some of them might not even have any desire to know God. But even that individual has received, to some extent, the blessings of God. For instance, for us to be awake, for us to have our right mind, for us to be able to breathe properly without assistance, without an oxygen mask. That's the blessings of Almighty God. For us to be able to get out of the bed in the morning and function. That's the blessings of Almighty God, whether we acknowledge him or not. Because if he doesn't bless us, guess what? We're not getting up. If he doesn't bless us, guess what? We're not seeing the light of day. So to this extent, for the one who at least acknowledges that this is God and that there is a God, they can understand a little bit of his character. You know, a little bit of his character. You can say, well, I believe that God is good because he's been good to me. He's been faithful to me. And that's God. But to really come to love him, you and I need to get to know him better. All right? So first of all, I want to say about God, at least what I've learned so far in my walk with God, God first and foremost is a loving God. He's a loving God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 144 in verse 2, he is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. But that verse in Psalm 144 starts out and says, he is my loving God. See, he's loving first and foremost, and that's why he makes himself your fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer. I love that. That's why I'm saying it again. My shield. And in him, I can take refuge. And when I need him to subdue enemies and put them under my feet, he will do that. This understanding of God's character is paramount to every believer's walk with God. What is paramount? The fact that he is a loving God. Loving God. So many times in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, we see that he's a caring and loving God. The Apostle John, the same writer, writes in also chapter 15, but a little bit higher up in verse 3, he reminds us of the greatest example of Christ's wonderful love for you and for me. He said, greater love has no man than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends. But just to take it a little further, because we know that in natural life, there are people, and there will continue to be some people, that will lay down their lives for their friends. That does not make them God. But yet, that's the greatest amount of love that that man or woman could ever show. They are laying down their life so that their friend may live. We've heard of mothers that they got the worst prognosis from their doctors, and they were pregnant. They were with child. And they were told that if you keep this child, you have a 99% chance of dying. And I've heard and read of women that have actually allowed their children to be born, knowing full well that they were going to soon perish, but they wanted to give life to that little boy or that little girl. And this is what the Bible is talking about in John chapter 15, verse 3. We also know of people in the military, people that purposely join up to serve their nation, to serve their country. As for me, you know that I'm talking to you tonight in Reaching Out Radio, and I'm talking to you from the United States of America. But wherever you are, whether you're in China or whether you're in Ireland or whether you're in Great Britain or whether you're in any of these great nations, most likely you have military. And so there are people there, there are men there, and in some countries you have men and women that are willing to go on the battlefield and to fight to protect your life, to protect my life. So this is something, this is again what John the Apostle is referring to. Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends or for one's country, one's nation. But I want to go a little further, because with Christ, we go far further than that. Christ is not just, he was not just willing to lay down his life for his friends. He gave the ultimate sacrifice by giving his life not only for his friends, but even his enemies. He knew that there were many, many people that could not stand him. They did not like him. They despised him. They hated him. They actually were the ones who were crucifying him. And while they're crucifying him, Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't really understand what they're doing. So the love of Jesus even far extends the love of a willing mom to sacrifice her life for her baby. Jesus' love, Christ's love, supersedes that, goes beyond that, is higher than that, is greater than that. She's doing that because that's her child. The military person, they're sacrificing their life, they're putting their lives at risk. The policemen, the firemen, they're putting their lives at risk to protect us. They cannot save us. So here you go with Jesus, who's giving his life, his sinless life. See, the firemen, the policeman, the military person, the mother that sacrifices his life. There have been fathers that have stood in the way of their children being killed, and they've taken the bullet or the knife or whatever for their child to live. You know, there's always these cases. But these people, these individuals are just like you and just like me. They're part of humanity. And they don't have what it takes to actually do what we need to get done. And what do we need to get done? We need a Savior. Because when we're in sin, we need somebody to be able to save us from our sin. And the only one who can do that, the only one who can do that is Christ Jesus. He actually says in John chapter 14, verse 6, that anyone that comes to the Father, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, not one of many different ways, not one way that you can just choose or one way that you feel comfortable with, but I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And if any man comes to me, he has to come through me to the Heavenly Father. You cannot bypass Jesus to get to God, because Jesus is God. He actually is God that came down and wrapped himself in human flesh so that you can have a right to eternal life, so that I can have a right to eternal life. But to get to know this God, okay, we've got to be willing to give our lives to him. That's when we're really, really, really going to begin to get some kind of an understanding. Your mind, my mind, is limited, always. But because of Christ in us, he even expands our human capacity to begin to understand spiritual things. And he's a great God. What he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord does not delay as though he was unable to act, and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. But he is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So why did I just read that verse? Because I'm talking about for us to really love God, as he asked the question of Peter, do you love me? And he's asking you that question tonight. Whoever you are that are listening to the sound of my voice, listening to this broadcast on Reaching Out Radio, our holy God is asking you the question tonight, do you love me more than these? And so I am encouraging you by telling you, you're going to have to get to know God to begin to really love God. You might like him. You might want feel comfortable to be near him. You might think you love him. Believe me, you might think you love him. But when the going gets really difficult, things in life don't go exactly as you would like it to go or as I would like it to go, we're going to soon find out how much we really love God and how sincere our love for God is. But what I want us to just lay as a foundation is for us to begin to know some of his character. There's two ways that I'm talking about knowing God. I'm talking about knowing and understanding his character. But there's another aspect of knowing God. Knowing when you walk with him and you have a personal relationship with him, he will begin to speak with you. He will begin to talk with you. I'm not talking about an audible voice. But your spirit will begin to commune with his spirit, because he's going to give you his Holy Spirit. So it's from deep calling unto deep. And you'll begin little by little to get to know not only his character, but what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he's comfortable with, what he's not comfortable with, what he's happy with, what makes him unhappy, what gives him pleasure, but what grieves him. You and I, as we develop a relationship with this holy God, we begin to know him. But I want to encourage all of us that are listening, what kind of a God are we talking about? As I said about 10 minutes ago, first and foremost, always know that he's a loving God. He's a loving God. Let that be the foundation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we would not perish, but that we would have life everlasting. This is God. He didn't have to do it. He already knew, because he's an all-knowing God. He's an all-knowing God. The Bible talks about Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen, went out and asked them, who is it that you want? And that was the time that the soldiers had come to take him captive. They came to arrest Jesus. But he already knew that. He knew that. He knew everything that was going to happen. This is the same Jesus that knew that there was going to be a colt in a certain place, and he told his disciples, go to this place that I'm telling you, and you're going to find a new colt, a young colt that has never been ridden on. You're going to ask the owner of that colt to give you him, and he's going to do it. So said, so done. Why? God is loving, and God is all-knowing. And you might wonder tonight, well, if God is all-knowing, why does he allow this, and why does he allow that? And if he's all-loving and all-knowing, wouldn't he have intervened? Please remember, God's ways are much different from our ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. He's looking the long distance. You and I can only see very, very short in front of us. Very, very brief a span can we see in front of us. We don't know the whole picture. You don't know if you're going to get up tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to get up tomorrow. Things change. Things happen. I'm thinking about what happened in 9/11. No matter what country that you are listening to Reaching Out Radio tonight from, we've all heard about that horrible tragedy that took place in America in the World Trade Towers, the Twin Towers at that time, Twin Towers, and we heard about the planes that went in, flew straight into the highest Twin Towers, and the fire that took place, the explosion, and the many, many, almost 3,000 people that lost their lives in a very short amount of time, and then so many others that have lost their lives since then as an indirect result of that, because they died because of being contaminated with the things that they were working with when they were trying to help and clean up around that site. So we all have heard about what happened in America in September, I believe it was, September 11th. I think the year was 2001, if I'm correct. And we all heard about that. What am I saying? That God knew that that was going to happen, but we didn't know that that was going to happen. That's for sure. The people that walked into that building to go to work, they had no knowledge that was going to happen. So this is what I'm saying. God is very different from you and me in this way. He's all-knowing. You and I are not all-knowing. We're planning for this and planning for the next thing. We're planning, oh, I'm going to go here and there. I'll be there in next March 2018. We don't know that. We don't know that. But our God knows that. And because he's all-loving and because he's all-knowing, we can trust him. We can trust him. So Peter, when that question was asked of the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Because I know you're loving, dear God. I know you're loving, and I know you're all-knowing, and I know that you have my best interest at heart. So whether I go through a hard time or not, and believe me, I will at some point in life. Every one of us goes through hardships. That's how come the Word of God tells us, Jesus tells us, that you're going to suffer persecution, and you will go through trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. He didn't say if, when. It's when you go through. It's not if, because you will go through, child of God. You will go through. Being a child of God does not exempt us from going through. But know that while you're going through, always keep front and center who your God is. He's loving. Whether we feel that way or not, and sometimes you and I are not going to feel that he's loving. That's what makes us believers. That's the difference between those that don't believe and they that do believe. We believe that God is exactly who he says he is. And I can tell you, after 40 and more years of walking with God. He is everything that I at least can understand him to be, all loving and all kind. But is he going to allow me to go through sometimes? Oh, yes, he will. I'm going through something right now as I'm giving this message. But you know what? God is also not only all loving, he's all knowing. And he knows everything that I'm dealing with. He knows what is right from what is wrong. He knows what is just from what is unjust. He knows if I'm being persecuted unjustly, he knows that. He knows if you're being persecuted unjustly. Don't think that because he allows you to go through it, that he's not aware of it. He's aware of it, and I've got news for you. He's going to take care of it. He will. Though the promise tarry, know that God will surely deliver you. He will bring what you need to have happen. He will bring it to pass. So to really get to love God, you're going to have to know God. Let's take a little quick look at Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter, do you love me? Well, Jesus was the one who called Peter to come and to be one of his disciples. Jesus, knowing what kind of person that Peter was, he still called him. Brash, probably not that literate, outspoken, bold, to some degree fearless. And Jesus saw something in Peter, because of course he made him, and he chose him to be his disciple. But then again, how did Peter look at Jesus? Peter was there when he could see Jesus walking on the water. Peter was there. Peter was right there. Peter was there when he saw Jesus feed the multitude, when there were 5,000 men, women, and children, and there was no food to feed them except one little boy's offering of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Peter was there to see Jesus take that fish and take those loaves and lift it up to his heavenly Father and pray blessing over it, break it, and then give it back to the disciples and said, okay, now take this and feed this multitude of over 5,000 people. Peter was there and he saw that. He saw that. But Peter still, with all of that, still didn't have the type of knowledge of God that he would later begin to develop. I remember there was a time when Peter had heard that it was soon coming to the time, because Jesus shared this with them at his supper that he called his disciples to just before he was crucified and beaten up. He had a special supper for them. He called them, and they sat with him, and they supped with him. And he told them about how he was going to, soon not be with them. And there was going to be a persecutors, plural, that would come and take him away, and that eventually he would die. He'd be killed. And Peter just got all, anxious, and he got all excited, and he said, where are they? You tell me where they are. Don't worry. Jesus, I'll take care of them. Don't you worry. I will kill them. Let them come. I'll kill them. The very same Peter that said that he will fight to the end to defend Jesus was the disciple who, when the rubber met the road, and I know that that might be a difficult idiom for some of you, but basically what that means, when I say when the rubber meets the road, it means when the time came for Peter to really prove that he would defend Jesus to the death, Peter was gone. Peter all of a sudden claimed that he didn't even know Jesus and that he was not his disciple. So this is what I mean. Peter, even though he knew something about God, certainly
I mean, this guy, Peter, actually walked with Jesus when he was on the earth. I mean, how much better can it get? But still, with all of his, you know, intimate surroundings and being able to be close to Jesus and have Jesus share some of the things that were in his heart and hear the teachings, the wonderful teachings of Jesus, with all of that, Peter was gone when they arrested Jesus and took him away. I mean, he was there in the very beginning, because when they did first come, he was there with Jesus. He was there so much that he took a sword, sliced off one of the ears of the soldiers that came to arrest Jesus. Merciful Jesus, he took that ear that was already severed and completely off the man's head, and just because he's God and he's miraculous, he took that ear and put it right back on that soldier. All of this goings on, all of these miraculous things that Peter had already seen firsthand, still did not have the type of knowledge of God that he would need to sustain him. Still was lacking in that, because he himself did not fully understand who Jesus was. He with all being around him, still there was something missing, and God had to make it real to him. I remember that when he was, you know, promising that he will fight to the end and he would defend Jesus, Jesus told him, "Peter, the devil has come to me." Well, he didn't say that in that verse, but he said, "The devil desires to sift you like wheat." In other words, he desires to mess you up, Peter. But don't worry about it. I prayed for you. And basically, I'm going to ad lib here now. I'm going to add something that was not in the scripture, just to give a little bit understanding. He basically was saying, "But I prayed for you. See, because you're going to mess up." He didn't say that. He didn't say that at that time to Peter. He didn't discourage him. He didn't put him down after he was coming up with this big, bold statement that he would protect Jesus to the death and fight for Jesus. He didn't discourage him, but he said, "Look, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and that when you're strengthened, when you come back and when you, you know, have the right direction, you're going to go and strengthen your brethren. Because what you're going through, you're going to learn from it, and then you're going to go and strengthen your brothers and your sisters." But again, knowing God is paramount to loving God. You've got to have some knowledge of God to be able to claim that you and I really love God. Because it's hard to love who we don't know. And that's why I'm teaching this in this second part series. You have to desire to know God. And you can even pray that. I prayed that. I prayed that prayer. Please feel free. "Father, I would like to know you. Want to really know you for who you are. I know a lot about you. I know a whole lot about you. I hear other people talking about you. But talking about somebody and knowing something about somebody is a whole different world than actually knowing them, knowing how they function, knowing their character, at least some of it, knowing what they like from what they don't like, knowing them. Like people in my family, I would know, people that I was raised with, I would know better than somebody that I just met yesterday. Of course, time with this individual, for years, the person in my family, we grew up together. We know each other. At least we think we know each other. Sometimes, because of circumstances, sometimes we even lose our knowledge of who we think we know. Very interesting. But we really need to know God. We really need to know God, because as we begin at least to know him to a human, the height that we can know him, as I said much earlier in the program, you and I will never fully know God. But we can know a lot more of his character and a lot more of who he is as we walk in total obedience and complete surrender to him. We got to know that he's loving. We got to know that he's all-knowing. And we got to know this about his character. He does not want you to fail. He does not hate you. He loves you. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act. I'm going to read this again. He's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for anybody to perish, but he wants for all to come to repentance. So in my knowledge of God, in my grasp of God in my mind, I'm understanding that, number one, he's loving. Number two, he's all-knowing. Number three, his heart is towards me, not against me. He said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, for I know the thoughts, I love this, I know the thoughts that I have about you and for you and toward you. And they're thoughts to cause you to prosper, not to bring you harm, not to curse you. I want to bless you. That's God's heart. And if Peter or you or me begin to understand God, the love that we have for God will grow. The love that we have for God is going to grow. So, I want to share this with you. He says in Exodus chapter 19, verse 14, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. That he's talking about how he delivered the Israelites, God's people, God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. He delivered them out of Egypt. And what he did to Egypt, he vindicated his people by destroying Pharaoh that was running behind them to destroy them. He says, you yourselves, you saw what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. That's God's heart. That's God's heart for you. That's God's heart for me. Now, the problem is sin. Because God is holy, because God is just, he cannot tolerate sin. He cannot permit sin to go unchecked. And so he's going to have to judge sin, because God, if you have any knowledge of God, you will know that he's holy. He's holy. So he will not just permit sin to go unchecked. He is a holy God. As much as he's loving, he's just as holy. He's a holy, holy God. He'll do whatever is necessary to cause us to also be in a right relationship with him and stay there. But the thing of it is, he's going to have to judge sin. So in our knowledge of God, please understand that God is not going to be pleased if you and I continue to live in rebellion against him. See, because he is God. That's another thing we got to understand. And no, he is God. You and I are not God. Why do I say that so strongly? Because many times we think and act like we're God. We think and act as if we were God. We're not God. And, you know, if we have any kind of good sense, common sense, we would be honest and be quick to acknowledge, no, you know what, you're right. I'm definitely not God. Sometimes we might have played that we were God, even without consciously proclaiming to be gods, but we've been the Lord of our own life. We've been taking over and directing our own life. And see, God made us so that he could be the director of our lives. He deserves to be the director of our lives. You and I, many times, we don't even know what we truly want. We don't really know what is the best for us. Many, many times, we have a lot of good thoughts. We have a lot of good desires. We have a lot of ambition. But at the end of the day, many times, if we're going to be honest, we don't even know who we really are. We're trying to find out who we really are. One of the ways, I'll just throw this in for free, one of the ways that you and I get to know who we are is when we come before God humbly and he really shows us who we are. You never get to know who you really are apart or being outside of Christ. You've got to be in Christ to begin to understand and know who you are. Amen. And he does that for us. But going again, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, from Romans chapter 6. The wages of sin is death. We got to know that. God's character demands that sin be punished. But then the other side of his character, he says sin has got to be punished. I cannot tolerate sin. Cannot allow that to go unchecked. But because of my loving character, I'll take your place. You deserve to die, Pearl. You deserve to die. Or John, you deserve to die. You can put your name in here. Mary, Sally, Stan, Robert, you deserve to die because you've sinned. And the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And how do we receive this gift of life? It's through faith. It's through, first of all, being willing to acknowledge and repent of our sin. Acknowledge that, you know what, God? I've been living my own way. I've been living to please myself. I've been living by my own agenda. I've been previously the director of my life. I've been in charge. But I'm beginning to understand, even from this message, Father, that you want to be in charge of my life and that I need you to be in charge of my life. Why? Because you're all-knowing. You know better than me what is good for me. You're all-loving first and foremost. And you desire that I not perish. And sin's going to cause me to definitely perish. And so, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, please. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause you to be grieved, that's going to cause you not to look at me, that's going to cause you to turn away from me. I want you, Father, to forgive me of all my sin. And then be willing to say, through faith and by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say, Lord, I believe in what Jesus did on the cross. I believe that when he went on that cross, that he was sinless, but he was bearing my sin. I should have been the one on that cross. I should have been the one that was killed. I should have been the one that paid the penalty for my sin. But yet, you love me so much that you took my place. And you took what I should have gotten. And you gave your life in exchange for me. Wow. Dear God, thank you. That's how much you love me. Philippians 3:10 says that I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. But now this is the key. And I want to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I want to explain very carefully for those of you that are new. God is not asking you to give your life as a punishment for sin. Your life can never be acceptable to God as punishment for sin. Why? Because you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We were born and shaped in sin and iniquity. Our blood is guilty. And so God will not accept us giving our lives and hoping that that will help us to get saved. Never. The only person who could have saved us is Jesus. We cannot save ourselves. But I want to get to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What does that mean? Sometimes, and quite a lot of times, especially as we come closer to his imminent return, because we identify with Jesus and because we belong to Jesus and because his mark is upon us, people are not going to like us, and we're going to be persecuted, and we're going to be suffering. There's a lot of Christians around the world today that are being martyred. They lose their lives just for the fact that they belong to Jesus, and they don't want to compromise their Christian faith. And so for them, Jesus has asked the question, do you love me even more than your own life? And are you willing to stand for me even if it meant that somebody's going to take your life? You love me? You got to know who I am. And you have to know, I'm saying Jesus, and you have to know that he has your best at heart. Even if you lose your physical life, what he has waiting for you in eternity will a million trillion times, it'll be worth it, because you'll be with him forever in eternity, where there's no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more disappointment, no more murder, no more criminal activity, no more lying, no more cheating, no more witchcraft to come against. No more evil, no more evil. Where Jesus is in heaven above, everything goes according to his great and precious will. And his will is wonderful. And so this concludes tonight's part two of this series. Peter, do you love me? The question is to you and to me. Do we love Jesus more than these? I pray that the answer for you is yes. God bless you. Sister Pearl loves you. Evangelist Montel Fields loves you. Reaching Out Radio, we care for you tremendously. We pray for you. We pray God's blessings upon you. Get to know God. Get to spend time in his word. Get to spend time in prayer. If you need help, you know, ask somebody who is more knowledgeable in the word of God. Make sure that you fellowship in a Bible-believing church, even if it's not in a, you know, a big building, even if it's in a home that they're studying the word of God. Fellowship with other believers so that you can grow in your faith and your knowledge of God. So this is Sister Pearl signing out tonight from Reaching Out Radio. God bless you tremendously. We love you. And we pray heaven shine upon you and that you'll make it, that we can see you on the other side when it's that time for us all to be together. God bless you. Bye-bye.